In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. This morning is a two-part sermon. The second part of the sermon is mostly for the Right 13 celebrities, but I couldn't not say a few words about this gospel. So that's where I'm going to start. In the tradition of Jesus' time, that teaching that we just heard was as radical as it is for us today, if not more so. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. This teaching of Jesus is at the root of the non-violent resistance that was used by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his followers, because they knew what Jesus was teaching, that violence only creates more violence. Jesus taught that the only way to transform violence is with God's love. So this month being Black History Month, and we're almost done now with February, we can remember Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and all those civil rights workers, people of all colors, who courageously stood for justice without using violence. And as you know, many civil rights workers, mostly people of color, were beaten, abused, arrested, and even killed for their witness. But without that powerful spiritual witness and work of nonviolent resistance, rooted in the love of God, hearts would not have been changed in the same way. For it was finally the witness, people witnessing the photos and the videos of the shameful acts of violence by white people against people of color who did not retaliate, who did not meet violence with violence, that began to turn people's hearts and transform our society. Now, I'm not at all suggesting that we are done with God's work of justice or that the sin of racism is gone. All you have to do nowadays is look at one news cycle to know that racism is alive and well. So Jesus' difficult teaching still awaits our action. We have to start where we are, each one of us. But we can begin today. We have to start somewhere. If you cannot love your enemies, you can begin by praying for them. Even that can take a tremendous amount of will. But prayer has the power to change things, and prayer can change us. When you pray for your enemies over time with God's help, by God's grace, you can feel your heart softening. You can be more able to live out our baptismal vows, to seek and serve Christ in all persons, even your enemies. and to work for justice and peace and respect the dignity of every human being. Now, to the right 13 celebrities. Bridget, Kevin, Michael, Chase, and Bryce, when was the last time you played hide and seek? Maybe just last night. I heard on the radio, it was a while ago now, that a Japanese professor wanted to make hide and seek an Olympic sport. At Holy Trinity Parish in Atlanta, the second parish where I served as an assistant, hide and seek was the youth group's favorite thing to do. In fact, that's all they wanted to do. We had a huge facility, two-story building, and they loved finding the best hiding places. I imagine there's not a person in this room who has never played hide and seek. Now, those of you who have had children will know this, that for a while, when children are quite young, they think they can hide by covering their eyes. Because they can't see anyone, they think no one can see them. So they stand still or they lie down with their eyes shut and their hands over their eyes, and they think they are invisible. You can't see me, can you? I think that sometimes, even when we are grown, we try to hide from God that way. Sometimes we don't look for God because we don't want God to see us. So we stand still with our eyes covered and hope that God passes us by. Maybe we are ashamed of something we've done, or maybe we're afraid that God will ask us to do something we're just not ready to do quite yet. Or maybe sometimes we run in the opposite direction. Or maybe it's the reverse. Most of us, maybe who are older anyway, have had a time in our lives when we looked for God desperately, but we couldn't see God anywhere. In times when we can't see God, do we assume that God can't see us? There's been a lot of research done into spiritual development of children and youth. And some of that research tells us that the first images of God that all of us have come from our parents. The people who feed us and hug us and rock us and keep us safe and are the whole world to us when we are helpless infants. And also that by the age of 6, much of our capacity for spiritual development is already formed. So it's not surprising that sometimes we may relate to God like we related to our parents. It's not surprising that sometimes we may play hide and seek with God. So in a few minutes, the right 13 celebrities are going to share this wonderful psalm with us, part of Psalm 139. And in this psalm, the psalmist describes a cosmic game of hide and seek. Where can I go then from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I make the grave my bed, you are there also. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the light around me turn to night, darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light to you are both alike. So the good news is, we can't hide from God. And we don't need to. There is nowhere that we can go that God is not already. And God sees us always. Even if we try to hide, even if we cover our eyes and stand still, or run in the opposite direction, or when we don't think we can see God. God knows each one of us better than we know ourselves. That part of the psalm you're going to read talks about God knew you before you were born, when your parts were knit together. And God loves us, every one of us, more than we can possibly imagine. So, Bridget, Kevin, Michael, Chase, and Bryce, in a few minutes you will stand before the congregation to mark a very important beginning, the beginning of your journey to adulthood. Your parents, your siblings, your peers, and the whole congregation and I will bless you as you begin this journey. It is an exciting and an important time. It's never been easy to be a teenager. Anybody in here think it was ever easy to be a teenager? No. It's always important to have the support of your family. But as you go through the teen years, it's also especially important to have other adults in your life that are mentors, that can create a safe space for you with your peers, where you can stretch and grow and question and try things out and pay attention to your spiritual life. That's what this group, this program is about. You can see God at work sometimes in the community of our faith, in your family, in teachers, and mentors and friends. You can see God in the beauty of creation as you enjoy and take care of the natural world. Church is almost the only intergenerational community that exists anymore outside of our extended families. And many of us live apart from our extended families. So the mixing of generations in the church can be a unique opportunity for sharing our wisdom. And the congregation has offered up some of its wisdom for you, young people, that's in the parish hall on a board. But also you will be teaching us, and we need to remember that we can learn from you as well. So the most important piece of wisdom, I think, comes from that psalm that you are about to share with us. That God knew you before you were born. That God knows you better than you know yourself. And that God is always with you, no matter what happens in your life. Remember, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. There is nowhere you can go where God is not already there. Amen.